The psalmist cried, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Oh, what a prayer to pray. Lord, is that song well put?
Amen.
Again, it's good to see everyone tonight in our Wednesday night services. We have our children's ministry, bus ministry going on at the back, and don't forget them. Pray for those that are ministering there. Here we have our Bible study. It takes different forms, and we're about to wrap up this current Bible study and move into the time in the summer when we hear from the other ministers of the church. But I'm just got a confidence in God. He knows how to speak to us. He knows how to talk to us. Amen. Good to see Nathan here too. He's here going to take one of our young ladies away in a few weeks, here to get married, and those days are coming for two of them. Amen. But good to have you tonight. Let's bow our hearts and pray before we enter into this study tonight. Father, we thank you again for truth. I mean, Lord, we know that it's truth that sets us free in our thoughts, our feelings, even our will sets us free to do what's right. Lord, help us tonight to receive your truth. God, give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak and to hear, to be changed. Lord, help us to be shut up to that truth tonight so that it can work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Question we're going to deal with tonight has, again, to do with God. That's a pretty broad subject, isn't it? But I was thinking before I begin how concerned I am how our world is inundated with false information about God. Whether in the education systems, on the television, through the programming, the news, the movies, most information people get about God and religious things is erroneous. How do I know that? Because it doesn't come from the book. The only real truth about God comes from the book. Amen. So we're going to deal with the question tonight. Again, here's our scripture. It's been a few weeks. The Spirit of the Lord had other things in mind. One Wednesday night, I was gone last Wednesday night. But let's read this together one more time, could we? "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." The word apologetics comes from this word answer. Be ready to give an answer, to give a defense of what you believe. The question we're going to deal with tonight, because it's a prevalent one, it's a prevalent statement in our world today. This is one of the things I was talking about. You'll hear them say on television in different places. They'll say, "Well, don't we all serve the same God anyway?" How many's heard that recently? Don't we all serve the same God anyway? So the question tonight is, aren't all gods the same God? They're just called by different names. We, as English-speaking people and Christians, we call our God by one name. And a Hindu, he calls his God by another name. Or another way to answer this, don't Muslims, Christians, Hindus, Jews, Native Americans, etc., all worship the same God? That's the question we're going to deal with. Now, I've just talked about the prevalence of this statement and this declaration today. In fact, it's stated as a fact. But you could go on the internet tonight, or you could listen to a talk show, or you could even watch the news, and you'd see the truth of what I'm telling you, how this is being pushed upon people to accept. But I want to give you just a sampling. I'm going to read it, but I want to give it to you just as I got it from a quick search of the internet. I didn't correct the grammar or the words or anything, but it's this idea that all gods are the same God. Here's what one person says. "I say that all are calling on the same God. It is not good to feel that my religion is true and other religions are false. All seek the same object or the same God. A mother prepares dishes to suit the stomachs of her children. God has made religions to suit different aspirants, times, and countries. All doctrines are only so many paths." Here's another person. "Maybe all gods are the same God, and there's some truth to all." I want you to notice that. There's some truth to all. Here's another person. Well, if you look at Greek myths, and there are about 13 major gods, and in some Christian religions, there's 13 aspects to the one God. Also look at Zeus and God. They both have a child by a mortal woman and are both very jealous and spiteful. Just something to think about from someone who has a multitude of different beliefs. In other words, what he's admitting is, I'm confused, so listen to me. I'm speaking as an authority. I think there's only one true God. He just goes by different names for different languages and religion. Again, this isn't the truth of theologians or Bible scholars. This is the truth of in vogue popular belief. Another person, if you really look at all the religions that worship God or gods, they all share close similarities. Catholicism, for example, follows God and the Holy Trinity and also celebrates hundreds of saints. Hinduism has hundreds, if not thousands, of gods. Actually, it's millions. But one top god, Vishnu, see the similarity? Hence, all deity religions are interconnected and are inherently worshiping the one God in different ways. You know, Paul has something to say about this. He said to Gentiles that had served all these other gods, when he presented the gospel of Christ to them and they gave their lives to Jesus, he said, you serve those other gods, but when you heard Jesus preach, you turned from idols to serve the living and the true God. Hallelujah. You know that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all come from the same roots. They all believe in the same God. Here it is again. This is important. We'll deal with this briefly tonight. Allah, the Muslim God, is just another name for God. And at their core, they believe the same things about Him. But over the years, they have also accumulated a lot of doctrines and traditions that make them different. And now they have a hard time recognizing that their gods are all the same gods, because they're killing each other over this other stuff, the stuff that shouldn't be important. We're about through, but I think this is important to show us how prevalent this is. Let's just let God speak for Himself through the Bible. Here's what God says. Now, I want you to put this in juxtaposition to what people are saying today. Here's what God says. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thy heart, upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our rock. And he goes on to say, even our enemies themselves being the witness. Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. Neither is there any God. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Psalm 86, among the gods there's none like unto thee, O Lord. Not the same God. The other gods aren't the same as he. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. Isaiah 46, remember the former things of old. This is God speaking again directly. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Isaiah again, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? What's the answer? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. A God who knows everything said there's no other God. Again, the psalm. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? In other words, they say all gods are similar. But who can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Let's look at their claim. Here's their claim. First of all, they will say that all religions worship the same God. It's just that different religions have different names for Him. I think this is really dangerous. First of all, it's not philosophical tenable. In other words, it's not rational to believe this, but this is what they say. There's every religion, every country, every language has the same God. They just have a different word for Him. Now, does anyone, can you tell what this is? What is this? What? You've already illustrated what I have to say. One time we were preaching revival with the Pennsylvania Dutch up in eastern Pennsylvania, and they had kind of like a Thanksgiving meal, and they had this on the table. And I said, please pass the dressing. And the guy looked at me real funny and got up and went to the refrigerator and brought me a bottle of ranch. And I tried to make clear. He said, oh, you mean the filling, the filling. What is it? I heard it tonight. Filling, stuffing, dressing. Now, they would use this as an argument. We're all talking about the same thing. We just call it by different names. But really, we're not all talking about the same thing, because then we're going to get in the argument, do you make it with corn or do you make it with wheat? In other words, is it cornbread or is it just wheat bread stuffing? Is it made with giblets or broth? And God forbid, but is it from scratch or did you get it out of a box? So when we start getting into it, we find out we're really not talking about the same thing. Religions, different religions use different names to refer to a supreme being, but they don't mean the same thing that we mean about the supreme being. You see, it's one thing to figure out that different languages are just another way of saying God, but when you get through saying, well, that's just that language's word for God, the second question is, how do they define God? It's not enough to say, well, you know, in Greek it's theos, and in our language it's God, and another language, in Spanish it's Dios. The question is, once you decide that it's the word for God, what do they mean when they use the word God? I think that's an important question, don't you? And we can't look at all of it tonight, but there's some important things. There's a difference between one or many. I mean, the Hindus believe in millions of gods. That's not the same as believing in one. How can many be the same as one? We believe in one God. And then there is, do we mean personal or impersonal? Now, I'm glad to say we believe God is personal. He's intellect, he's emotions, he's will. He is a person who communicates. He's a person who talks and touches. But for some, when they say God, he's impersonal. He's just a force. He's just a power. He's just the sum total of everything in the universe. Look, they could say it's just another word for God, but when they say God is the sum total of all things that exist in the universe, that's not the God I'm talking about. Noble or unknowable, these are things we could shout about if we'd really think about it. Because do you realize when most other people use the word for God, they're talking about an entity that they cannot know? Now, I'm not saying we can understand everything about God. He wouldn't be God if we could. But the truth of the matter is, our God is knowable. We can know him. We know in whom we have believed. We can literally not just know about or think about, we can know God. Not the same thing. Another thing, approachable or unapproachable. And most other religions use whatever language when they refer to God, they're referring to one that is unapproachable. Now, I don't have time to preach it tonight, but the reason our God is approachable is because he sent Jesus. And we have access to the Father. But I've just, you know, when they talk about God, they're not talking about someone that's approachable. But tonight I said, come on, folks, let's pray and enter into the throne room. How many knows our God is approachable? Hallelujah. It's not the same thing. We could go on and talk about this thing. A person cannot be 100% Caucasian and 100% Oriental at the same time. He's one or the other. A person can't be blonde-headed and black-headed at the same time. They're one or the other. They can't be male or female at the same time. They're one or the other. The argument is, well, since you know, well, I got a little ahead of myself, but since languages are different, each's name for God is going to be different. And they'll try to use an illustration like this. Different languages have a different word for dog, but they all mean dog. So with their different names for God, they're all still referring to the same God. Now, I admit there's different names, or in languages, the word for God is different. Tabitha in Spanish is Pedro for God, for dog, for dog. Okay, I'm messed up there. But the thing is, you're still not talking about the same thing. We We may be both using the word for dog, but there's a big difference between a Saint Bernard and a Chihuahua. One slobbers and the other will make you have a nervous breakdown. So even though we're using just a different language word for God, we're not talking about the same thing. It's the content that you give the word. Let me give you an example. Different language, same name, same person for Jesus. You can just take a glimpse. I wouldn't begin to try to pronounce these all, but these are different languages for Jesus. There they are. Some of them we can't pronounce. But here's the problem. Yes, these are the different languages word for Jesus, but they don't all mean the same thing when they say Jesus. How many knows to some people, for instance, a Muslim or even a Jew, Jesus means prophet. Did you know even in America there are some to Jesus, Michael the archangel is the same one as Jesus. There are some religions in America, when they say Jesus, they're talking about the brother of Lucifer. To some, Jesus, like in the New Age movement, is just an avatar, an ascended master, one who's further along the journey of reincarnation. To others, Jesus was just a great teacher or just a great example. To some, Jesus is just a little boy in Mexico. But who is Jesus to us? Can I hear it? Jesus is God in the flesh. Son of, you say, now listen, this you're just, this is semantics. You're just trying to, you know, you're just trying to split hairs. I beg to differ, because look what Jesus said. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He didn't say, "Do people know my name?" They knew his name, Jesus. But it's not just knowing his name. "Whom do you say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Jesus said, "Oh no, it's not enough just to figure out what other people say that I am. Whom do you say that I am?" That's the question of the ages. Whom do you say that Jesus is? Is he just a prophet? Is he just an ascended master? Is he just another angel? Is he just an example? Whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He hath revealed who I am." And that was an example using Jesus. It's not just enough to say every language has a different word for God. Whom do they say that God is? And to us, that God is the omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty God, creator and redeemer. Hallelujah. Who is God to us? We read the book and he has revealed himself to us, who he is. And here Christ is important, because it's through Christ that God has revealed who he is to us. Here's a question we could take an evening. I'm going to take about 2 minutes. But is the Muslim Allah the same as the Christian God? You'll literally hear this frequently today. Allah, God, Allah is just the Arabic word and God is the English word. It's the same person. But is it? Muslims say that Allah is the same God, but the Bible has a corrupt concept. In other words, the reason they got the true belief about God, but our Bible has been corrupted. But let's just do a quick contrast between Allah and Jehovah. Now, I'm trying to avoid the theology of this tonight, but the name of the triune God is Jehovah. He established that with Moses. Moses said, "When I go tell the children of Israel that God's going to set them free from bondage, whom shall I say sent me?" And God spoke to Moses and said, "Tell them that I am has sent you." That I am in Hebrew is Jehovah. Actually, Yahweh, we've changed it like we've done a lot of things, Englishized it. But Jehovah is the name of the triune God. I am. By the way, let me give you one little note here that you might find encouragement. Think about this. We've been reading our Bibles through. I should have done this on the slide. I didn't. But have you ever noticed that in the Bible, sometimes Lord is written uppercase L, small o, small r, small d? And sometimes Lord is written with all uppercase, all capitals, L-O-R-D. When you see Lord spelt with just the first letter capitalized, that's Adonai. That just means a title, Lord, like Sir, Lord. But whenever you see Lord written with all capital letters, that means behind that word is the Hebrew, I am that I am. That's the name of our God, the triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, one being, three persons. His name is Jehovah. So Allah of the Arabic or Jehovah of the Hebrew. The Allah is a remote God. He's remote. He's aloof. He's beyond. But Jehovah is an intimate God. He calls his people his wife. He talks about his love for his people. That's another distinction we'll get at in a moment. In the Muslim belief, Allah actually originated evil. He brought evil into the world. Jehovah did not originate evil. Evil came from Satan, who God created good, and Satan chose in his rebellion to bring evil into the universe. Allah has no son. This is a sticking point with the Muslims. Jehovah has a son. He sent his only begotten son. Allah is not Trinity. Jehovah is Trinity. Again, just one being, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We could go on and on. Allah really doesn't love, but Jehovah loves. Aren't you glad our God loves? Amen. Let's look at another claim. All religions have some truth about God. This all religions have the same God. And I want to admit tonight, all religions do have some truth in them. That's how the devil got people to accept him. They have some truth. You know, there's not ever been one that's taught false doctrine that came into the church and said, I am here to teach false doctrine. Everything I teach tonight is going to be false. No, they come as if they're presenting the truth, and like bait to a fish, they put enough truth in it that it begins to appeal to people. People say, you know, there's some truth. Well, there's some truth to all religions. In fact, there's some good in most religions. But some truth isn't the same as the truth. How many believes that tonight? Just because it's got some truth. There's Hollywood gets a hold of something, a story, and there's some truth to it, but they've changed that thing around, so that's not really what that person was. That's not really how that thing happened. And just because you have a few pieces of the puzzle doesn't mean you're able to see the whole picture. You can't see the whole thing. I could write a book of false doctrine and have a few scriptures in it, but that would mean that it was true. Amen. Oh, there's so much we don't have time for tonight, so I'm going to skip it. But let's look at another claim here. All religions share similar features and stories. This all refer to the same God. Here's the argument here. All gods are the same because you can see the same traits as you move from the God of one religion to another religion. But you know, if that's true, that would make all people the same people. If all these different gods are the same God because they share similar traits, then all people are the same people. How many knows we all share some same traits? Quite a few of them, if you want to know the truth. I thought of this illustration here. How many knows what the platypus looks like? Did you know he shares some traits with a duck? But are they the same animal? Are they even in the same family? You know, it just doesn't quite seem right, does it? And so just because they share similar traits does not mean that they are the same thing. One of the things they always like to bring up, and you may not have heard it called this, but the Epic of Gilgamesh. Did you know almost every religion has a story very similar to Noah and the Ark? And they said that's proof that they all religions serve the same God. They're close, but not quite. It's not truth that all religions serve the same God now. It's the proof that all religions came from the worship of the same God. Because we all came from Noah, so everyone, every descendant of Noah would have had the story of Noah and Ark. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a liberal mention the fact that all religions have a story about Noah and the Ark as proof that all religions are valid. It just proves that we all came from Noah, descendants of Noah. At one time, we all referred to the same God. Let's look at another claim. All religions have the same God because each religion just emphasizes a different aspect of the same God. I could talk about this a long time. I'm going to do it in about 3 or 4 minutes. But the famous illustration they like to use here is about the blind men and the elephant. How many has ever heard this used? Liberals, several of you have. Liberals used, love to use this. What they say is one time there was an elephant, and there came upon him, however you got here, the story varies, let's say six. There came upon him six blind men, and one of them began to feel the tusk. And said, what is this thing called, an elephant? Well, an elephant is like a spear. Another was feeling of his ear, and he said, you know, if this thing's an elephant, then an elephant is like a piece of cloth. Another was feeling of a leg, and he said, you know, if this thing's an elephant, then an elephant is like a trunk of a tree. And on, the tail. Another said, no, if this thing's an elephant, then an elephant is a rope. It's like a rope. And they all came up with a different thing. And then this wise teacher, the Raja, he was looking out the balcony. He said, oh, foolish blind man, you're thinking an elephant is different because you're blind. You're only feeling one part of it. But in fact, all of you are feeling the same thing. You're just feeling different parts of you. It's just one elephant. You've just got a hold of a different aspect. And over, this is used as an illustration that all religions got a certain aspect of the same God. But I want you to notice the thing they miss in that story. Those blind men never would have known that that elephant was one unless someone who could see that was higher up, the Raja, revealed to them the mistake they was making. In fact, you got right back to our God. It takes God to reveal who the true God is. Because we are blind by sin, but our God sees. Amen. Well, I have trouble comparing God with an elephant, even in analogy. Another problem I have with this is notice a blind man, as I just said, would have never known it was an elephant unless there was someone higher. But the tusk is not the elephant. Neither is the leg. You've got to have it all before you got the elephant. Just because you have a tusk in your living room, you can't say, I've got an elephant in my living room. Let me give you an illustration. Here's what happened. That's not the elephant. This is, he put his head down. I should have used Hannah. Sorry, son. Here's what happens. They say that people just have these different gods and they develop it as they went along. What I say is the truth is man at one time all served the same God, but they perverted their view of God. This is Andrew. He's playing around with an iPad. That's what he did with the software. And he did that. Now I'm going to ask you something. Is that Andrew? No, it's a distortion. That's not Andrew. That's a distortion. These other religions are a distortion of the one true living God. But I'm glad the book reveals who that one true living God is. Amen? And there's this idea that the one true God of the Jews, Islam, Christianity evolved from the idea of many gods. But in fact, it's the opposite. At one time, we all serve the one true living God. But people distorted the view of Him, their religion. So all religions are a perversion of a once pure worship of the true God by all peoples. Or they're an attempt to meet a hunger, a space only God can fill. So they create an idea of God to try to fill that space. But how much do you have to change it before it's no longer? You know, we have people wearing coonskin caps that hated them. But the movies had them on them, so that's the way it was. How many really thinks there's very much similarity between Davy Crockett of Hollywood and Davy Crockett, the man? Hardly any. It's distorted. Now, before we end tonight, and quickly, what is the difference? What makes the difference in our God? First of all, the difference is in who He is. The difference isn't just in the name, but in who the God is that is referred to by that name. You see, again, our God is personal. He knows us by name. He talks to us. We can have, do you hear this in other religions? It's not just adhering to what we believe. It's having a relationship. That's the difference. With our God, you have a relationship. Our God is uniquely love and holy at the same time. You won't find that elsewhere. Our God is holy. He has pure eyes and to look upon sin. And yet in all His holiness, He's a God of love. His holiness said, judge people. But His love said, save them. And He sent Jesus. You won't find that with another God. Our God is transcendent. Not trying to frighten you with the big word. Transcendent just means above it all. Our God is not matter. Our God's not made out of atoms. Our God's not animal. Our God's not plant. Our God's not even human. He's transcendent. He's above it all. He's beyond it all. Other faiths have that. They have a transcendent God. But the difference is our God, who was transcendent beyond it all, came and dwelt amongst us. He came in our flesh. He tabernacled amongst us. He took not on Him the nature of angels, and He didn't just keep Himself in the nature of a God, but He took upon Him our nature and lived amongst. Who else can say that their God has eaten as we eat, has faced what we face, been born like we've been born, even faced death like we will face it? No other religion can say that. That's the difference in our God. Aren't you glad He came? Hallelujah. Our God is Trinity. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, I wish I had time to go on this. I talked about how this is necessary. A Trinity is necessary to have an unchanging God. Because our Bible says God was love. I'll give it to you brief. Our God is love, and our God is eternal. That means He's eternally been love. But if before there was a man or an angel, amen, whom did He love if He's just one person? But if God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then in eternity past, way, way, way back before the creation of anything, the Father loved the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Son loved the Father and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loved the Father and Son. Amen. Our God is a mighty triune God. Amen. The difference isn't just in who He is. The difference is in what He requires. In other religions, one is a good follower if he keeps the teaching. But a Christian is a true follower if he knows the teacher. How many knows the teacher tonight? Amen. Other religions, it's about works. In Christianity, our God, it's about believing Him. You go and look. Other religions is about what you can do to earn your place, to get in favor. But with us, God shows favor to those that believe. Amen. Our God is uniquely the seeker. Look at their other gods, and it's all about man seeking that God. But look at our God, and it's about our God seeking us. From the very beginning, when man sinned in the garden, it said, and God came calling for man, where art thou? The Son of Man, He came incarnate that He might seek that which is lost. Our theme for outreach this year: see, show me another religion where the God comes seeking the sinner. Our God is uniquely the rescuer. Hallelujah. He doesn't just give us a little good feeling to get through it. He rescues us. I'm glad to say our God is Savior. He'll pick you up out of the pit. He'll bring you up out of the mire. He'll bring you up out of the sin. He'll rescue from sin and Satan and hell. The difference isn't just in who He is and what He does. The difference is in how He is known. Only in Christianity is God truly knowable. The only true God is the one that is revealed by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, He that has seen Me has seen the Father. And Philip saith unto us, shew us the Father, it sufficeth us. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Well, what did you see in Christ? You saw compassion. You saw concern. concern. You saw healing power. You saw saving power. You saw love. You saw holiness and righteousness and perfection. Amen. You look at Jesus. You know you can know God by knowing Jesus. Hallelujah. His uniqueness, our God, is uniqueness is revealed in Jesus through the incarnation. God's made flesh in his death. God and Jesus died for our sins. Think about that. Resurrection. Our God lives. Jesus lives. The tomb is empty. But I'd like to say, last of all, the difference in our God is the difference that he makes. He makes a difference. Did you know the following of other gods is destructive to the follower and destructive to others? Brother Heath could tell you, be in different places in the world. If you have Hinduism, you have a caste system and people are kept in bondage and poverty. You go where they practice voodoo and people are filled with fear and oppressed. Just take the one island, Haiti on one end and the Dominican Republic on the other, and the influence of voodooism and all of that. But I promise you, every place the true gospel has been introduced and people have accepted Christ, there begin a rise in that society in every way. Finances, education, it followed the spiritual rise out of the pit. Because I'm telling you, our God truly makes a difference. The falling of God in Jesus will make a marked difference now in this life and for all eternity. Hallelujah. It isn't just that the God we serve is the best. It's that he is the only God. The others are imposters and fakes and counterfeits and distortion. Our God proclaimed his uniqueness and forbade worship of any other gods. Now listen, I will make one parenthetical note here. I don't say any of this with an arrogance. I don't say any of this with an exclusivism that we're better than anyone else. Amen. We're the first to admit it's not about arrogance. It's about gratefulness that we have the truth and he found us. We're not talking about what we found, what we discovered. We're talking about the fact that he found us. We're not saying, look at us, we found the one true living. We're saying, look at him, he found us, the one true living God. He found us. God proclaimed the worship of any others. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Our God has proved himself God. I want to end with this. I want to take you back to Mount Carmel. There was a God debate there. They had turned from Jehovah and began to worship Baal. Baal, a false god, a wicked god, an idol. They began to worship him. Elijah stepped on the scene and said, look, this can't be. God's people, Jehovah's people should be worshiping Jehovah and not Baal. So let's have a contest. Let's have these sacrifices of bullocks. Put no fire. Let's just get the sacrifice ready for the altar and lay it on the wood with no fire, and let's eat. First of all, the prophet of Baal, you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name, see all the capital letters, and I will call on the name of Jehovah, Yahweh, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. The question is, Baal or Jehovah? We've heard this story many times. The prophets of Baal, they cut themselves, they cried, they did everything possible, but there was no answer. But Elijah, he prayed that little prayer, and as he prayed, suddenly fire came out of heaven. Amen. That sacrifice had been permeated, soaked with water, but when fire came out of heaven, it burned up that sacrifice, consumed even the dust around that place. And all of a sudden, the people begin to shout and say, Jehovah, not Baal, Jehovah, he is God. I want to tell you, God has proved himself God over and over and so many ways, but the greatest way he's proved himself God is a wicked person whose life is in a mess, ruined and destroyed in every way, comes and puts his faith in Jesus and gets up a new creation, a new person. Amen. He has proved himself God. God. Oh, can you say amen? Oh, I started hearing this song as I was prepared. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Would you stand to your feet as the music comes? I just want to end with this. The short psalm we all learned in Sunday school. But that one portion says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. I want you to say that last part with me tonight across the building. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Say it again. The Lord, He is God. If He's changed your life, lift your hands and worship. You're not worshiping an idea. You're not worshiping a philosophy. You're not worshiping a dead idol. You're worshiping the one true living God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Savior, the King of Kings. Oh, let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Would you like to come tonight and thank Him for being the God that made the difference in your life? Would you like to come and thank Him for truth? Let's come. Let the Word of God settle into our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank Him that He's found you. Thank Him that He's found you. Thank Him that He's found you. He came seeking for you. He came seeking for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's thank Him tonight.
I don't have a God I can put on a stand.
Not just an idea.
God I hold in the palm of my hand.
Yes.
But I have a God who's holding me.
Oh, let's thank Him tonight. Worship Him. Worship
Him. I don't
Him.
Have a God that I can create in the place I live with the money I make.
Worship
but I
Him.
Have a God. He made everything.
Oh, worship Him.
So I don't need a temporary man-made deity when I got the real thing.
Oh, hallelujah.
When I got the real thing.